Good morning, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. It is so good to see those of you who are worshiping with us in person today on this beautiful sunny day. It's even warming up out there a bit, and we welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online as well this morning. I do want to remind you that it helps us to know if you are worshiping with us this morning. So if you're in the sanctuary, you might find one of the pads that's at the end of the pews, and write your name on there and give us any contact information that you're willing to share, and then pass that on down so that we may record attendance for everybody here. And if you're worshiping online, there should be a place for you to register your attendance electronically, and that should be in the chat or on the screen this morning. A few announcements this morning before we get started. First of all, I want to invite you to join us back here this evening in the sanctuary at 5 o'clock p.m. We will be having our monthly Tazay service of healing and prayer. And this is something we actually haven't gotten to do in a couple of months. We pulled back because of the Omicron variant, but we are back to doing Tazay worship this week. And it's a beautiful, simple, contemplative service that includes time for singing and centering prayer and for prayers of healing and anointing with oil. So we hope you will join us here this evening at 5 o'clock in the sanctuary, and that will also be streamed online. If you've been in the building, you've probably seen that we have been in the process of replacing some of our tile floors, and that was actually happening before we had the water that came through the church and damaged some things. So the floors that have been pulled up are actually, that was planned. That was something we had in mind already, and we are in the process of beginning that work of replacing the tiles this week. The tiles have arrived, and so this week we wanted to let you know that the traffic path between the two elevators and the level two sanctuary entrance, and also where the stairs meet the floor outside the sanctuary, all of that is going to be off limits this week. So if you're in the church during the weekday, please kind of check for signs and follow the signs and don't step on those tiles as they are setting. We hope that those floors will be open and available to walk on by the time we get to next Sunday worship, though. It's also almost time for Lent. Lent is fast approaching, which means we have a lot of our annual events and worship services related to Lent to prepare us for that season. And it all starts on March 1st on Shrove Tuesday. We'll begin with our annual pancake supper, and that will be from 5 o'clock to 6:30. And this year, we're not going to charge anything for the pancake supper. We are inviting you, though, if you choose and if you feel led, to make donations as you arrive. And those donations and proceeds will go towards the Sunny Day Club. We do ask that you RSVP for that dinner so that we have enough pancakes and all the fixings to go with that. Following that, at 6:30 p.m., we will celebrate with West End's unique Tuesday Shrove Tuesday service, which is the Jazz Mass. And it's a fun and whimsical service that's a joyful celebration that even includes a New Orleans-style jazz band, and the pastors even get to wear some Mardi Gras masks. So it's a lot of fun. So we hope you'll join us for that. And then following that on Wednesday, March 2nd, things take a more meditative turn as we observe Ash Wednesday services at noon and 6 p.m. We hope you'll join us for these events and services as you begin to prepare your hearts and minds for the Lenten season. And now let us turn to God in worship, to the God who embraces us with unconditional love.
Thank you. God's love for us is with us wherever we may go. God's love for us is greater than any circumstance we face. There is nothing we can do to be separated from God's love. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with assurance that who we are, that what we carry, is held within God's perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy has no end. Loving God, we confess we often rely upon ourselves to fix what we have broken. We turn from you and toward our strength, ambition, and resources. We look to our own understanding to cure the things that ail us. Forgive us, merciful God, for ignoring you as you stand before us with perpetually outstretched arms. Though time and again we choose to distance ourselves from you by sin, waywardness, bitterness, or distrust, you continue to stand and wait, eagerly watching to welcome us back home. You are always with us and freely give of yourself to us. May we be healed by your infinite compassion and generosity, that we may love and serve one another in kind. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, both here in this sanctuary and wherever you may be, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love with one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Robert and Lindsay Riley bring their daughter to God before this community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ. Through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Robert and Lindsay, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And congregation, before you give your responses, I just want to say that as our church makes promises on behalf of this child, that it's such a special thing to be at West End, because sometimes we have new members, and then sometimes we are baptizing a child that is a fifth generation West Ender. And that is a wonderful thing we celebrate today. So this church has promised to raise many of these children and will continue to do so. So congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name is given this child? Laura Lee Riley. I baptize you in the name of the Creator, our Father, the Redeemer, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Amen. And if everybody would place hands on her now. Laura Lee, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born by water and the Spirit, that you may grow to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now I'm going to invite the Riley family to stand out here in the center so everybody can welcome their new sister in Christ, Laura Lee Riley.
Will the congregation please stand and face Laura Lee? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Laura Lee to your love and to your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Laura Lee, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Our lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So the father divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I'll get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. And while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran out, put his arms around him, and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and now is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. Slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he's got him back safe and sound.' Then the older son became angry and refused to go into the house. His father came out, began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed your command, and yet you've never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And the father said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All of our young persons to come forward for a children's moment. And if you are worshiping with us at home, you can kind of come a little bit closer to the screen. And while y'all are making your way up here, I'm going to get my good friend Spot here. What do you think of Spot? Come and sit right down here, Rim. I'm going to sit right here so y'all can sit all right around there if you want. I'm going to put Spot here. How is everybody this morning? Good, good. It's good to see so many of you today. Come on up. Okay, so This is my pal Spot, and I brought my pal Spot today because you know what? I needed a big hug today, and Spot is so cuddly. Does anybody else have a stuffed animal or something they like to hug a lot? Does anybody have one that they sleep with maybe at night or something like that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? My daughters have a lot of stuffed animals too. And Spot is so cuddly. And Spot sits on my daughter's bed. And I just thought, I need to bring Spot today because I need a big hug. Now, I don't know if you heard in the story today that was just read, but there was a story about this young man who his life didn't turn out quite the way he thought it was going to, and he was sad, and he wasn't sure what he was going to do. And yet, he found out that his father still loved him, and guess what else? That God still loved him. And when he realized that God loves me, and my father loves me, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back home and tell him how I'm feeling and what's going on, and maybe that'll help make me feel better. What do you think his dad did when he got home? What do you think he did? He did have a party, but what did he do first? Yeah, he hugged him really, really tightly. He hugged him really, really tightly, and he said, "You are my son, and I love you, and I'm so glad you're here, and no matter what happened, I still love you." And you know what? I think God was saying the same thing in that moment. Now, this dog sits on my daughter's bed, but you know what I love even more than hugging this dog? I love hugging my daughter. And when I go in and I see all her stuffed animals at night, I go in there and I might cuddle with them a little bit, but you know what I'm really looking forward to? I'm looking forward to giving my daughter a big hug, because that reminds me that she is a gift to me and I am a gift to her, and that God loves us very much, and that we can share love with one another and take care of one another. So today, I invite you to, as you go home or as you go back to your seats later, to maybe give somebody that loves you very much a big hug, to let them know that you love them and that God loves them very much. Do you think you can do that for me? Do you think you can give somebody a big hug today? Well, if you don't feel like it, it's okay, because you know what? You don't have to give a hug. But if you want to give a hug, it's a wonderful way to show people that they are loved. All right? Will you pray with me? Let's pray together. God, we are so thankful that you love us and that you put people in our lives that love us. And we give thanks that we have people that love us and that we love them back. Lord, help us always remember to share your love with other people so that they know that we care about them so very much, and that they remember that you do too. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right. If you are between the ages of 3 and 5, you may go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Katie to Children's Chapel. And if you're older than that or younger than that, you can go back to your seats with your parents, okay? Good to see you all this morning. What's that? Oh, you're going with me? Well, I'm going up there, so you may not want to come with me today. Would you want to go way up there? That might be kind of fun, actually. That has been one of the joys of this time of where things have changed. We've been doing children's church, which we didn't used to do, and the pastors get to go and lead now, and so it's been fun to get to know the children in a different way. So I'm glad at least one of them wanted me to come back. It must mean somebody likes me, okay. Over the last few Sundays, we have been in this Love Always series, and we've explored some portions of the Apostle Paul's letters that we don't hear very often. They were perhaps so foreign to our ears that we had to open our minds and hearts and really stretch a bit to even understand what they were trying to say and how they might apply to our lives. This week, we face the opposite experience. Here in this so-called prodigal son story or parable, we find a story so familiar to most of us that we might wonder, is there anything else to discover? And yet this week, as I pondered the text and as I studied it with people in our Bible studies, And as I put it into conversation with our focus on 1 Corinthians 13 and Paul's description of love, I was reminded of just how rich this tale really is. There's a reason that we revisit it time and time again, because it's complex and it's many-sided, and it resonates with the very depth of the expansive nature of God's love in all of its forms. Now, I say it's the so-called prodigal son story because I'm not really sure that's the best name for it. Many other names have been suggested: the story of the prodigal sons, the tale of two brothers, or perhaps most fittingly, the story of the prodigal father or the loving father. Some of the members of our Bible studies this week suggested some different titles. They thought maybe it would be better to go with the story of the spoiled brat or the parable of the dysfunctional family. And perhaps you can think of others. As we try to discern what this story is wanting to tell us about divine love, I wonder if it makes the most sense to hold all of these various names and perspectives in tension. All at once, it is a story about promising futures and dashed dreams, good decisions and bad decisions, fruitful outcomes and the depths of despair, reconciliation and resentment, hatred and love. It's messy, it's complicated, it's life. And divine love winds its way through all of it. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, divine love hopes all things and bears all things and believes all things and endures all things. Now, it's tempting for us to hear this story and want to make it an allegory, to say that the father represents God and that the younger son represents the repentant sinner returning to God. Now, while there's nothing particularly wrong with this reading, I want to today simply invite you to hear this story as a human story. I want you to hear this as a story where divine love pursues and chases each member of this family, seeking wholeness and healing and goodness for each person involved. In this way, I think we can begin to catch a glimpse of the ways in which God's love pursues each and every one of us as well. Love hopes all things. As we imagine the years that might have led up to the beginning of this story, we can imagine the many hopes and dreams that culminated in this moment in these people's lives. I imagine this father as a younger man, holding his sons for the first time after their births. If you've been a parent or a parent figure, you know the profound sense of hope and possibility that comes with raising children and imagining their futures. It seems so open and so free, and it is. This is one aspect of God's gift of life and love that grants each and every one of us a chance to live and love. Love means potential, and it means promise. And all of us, whether we have been parental figures or not, can remember the sense of possibility that we carry or that we carried as young children, as teenagers, as young adults. These two young brothers had hopes and dreams that were not so unlike our own. And no matter your age, I invite you to take a moment and remember how you have known God's love during your own times of hope. When has God and love opened the doors of possibility and of adventure and of exploration and of growth? That's what true divine love does. Love hopes the best for my future and the best for your future, the best for our future together. If you are in a season of hope and possibility, know that the God who is love is with you. Love bears all things. Because love in action opens the door of endless potential, love also carries with it a measure of risk and even danger. That's why love must not only hope, but must be ready to bear the burdens and struggles that are the natural accompaniment to living lives of hope and possibility. In the face of hope for the future of his sons, it must have felt tremendously hurtful when this man's younger son came to him to ask for his share of the inheritance prematurely. After having poured years of sacrifice and care into the life of this boy, his son had basically turned around and wished him dead. He was seeking the inheritance that would normally have been his own after his father's death. Yet the father gives in and distributes the inheritance to both of his boys anyway. Now, some folks who hear this part of the story say, "What an irresponsible father." Somebody in Bible study this week asked me, "Can you imagine giving a bunch of $500 to your daughter and just letting her go do whatever you want with it?" I said, "No, I can't." But I think this father understands something about divine love that we often fail to grasp. The truest love, the kind of godly love that binds the universe together, is a non-coercive and an always giving love. In the book Uncontrolling Love, Essays Exploring the Love of God, theologian Thomas J. Ord writes, "God's love is necessarily self-giving and others empowering. God cannot override or withdraw or fail to provide the power of freedom and agency or existence to creation." Now, of course, it's important to remember that only God can absolutely give of self. There are limits to what we can do and boundaries that must be set for our own health and well-being. And yet, when we lean into divine love, we will find ourselves becoming people who seek to empower others and to allow others to live freely under the care of God's provision. As painful as it must have been for this father to part with his son in this way, and as frightened as he must have been for his son's future, this father chose not to control, but to let his son live freely. To let his son rise or fall, to entrust his son to God's abiding love, knowing ultimately that only God's love could fully hold his son. If you are currently in a season of having been hurt by someone dear to you, or you have a rocky relationship, know that the God who is love is with you. If you are in a season of letting someone go so that they may live more freely in the care of God, know that the God who is love is with you. Love believes all things. As this younger son followed what he thought were his wildest dreams and wishes, something happened along the way. What began as promise and excitement devolved into pain and lament. Although this young gentleman received a profound gift of love from his father, the gift of freedom and of exploration, he didn't quite know what to do with it. And so he misused that freedom. This young man learned the hard way what the Apostle Paul says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial." So he found himself at the lowest point in his life, feeling alone and pitiful, ready to eat with the pigs in a pigsty. I think this is perhaps one of the most profound portraits of desolation and depression in the Bible. And yet at that very moment, when he was at his worst, feeling completely lost, the parable says in the King James translation that he came to himself. Somehow, when all was bleak, a glimmer of sunshine broke through. And I think this is a moving depiction of the love of God that is always working on us, that is at the heart of our very being. If only we can stop to notice it, to believe it, and to embrace it. And when this love sparks, we come to ourselves and we begin to sense something of our self-worth again. The love of God believed that this young man was not disposable and not unimportant, or even worse, irredeemably bad. Rather, he was simply lost to himself and lost to others. But love opened the door back to his own worth, his own imago Dei, or the image of God within. And when he returned to his father believed in his worth as well. So much so that he celebrated his return and lavished him with celebration and honor. Now, tough love might have said to shower him with shame and with guilt. But the divine love channeled by the Father knows that no shame he could pile on was any worse than what the Son already brought with him. As clinical social worker and researcher and author Dr. Brené Brown reminds us, the opposite of worthiness is shame. And this father knew that love is the antidote to shame and self-loathing, a love that says, I see you, and I feel your pain, and all will be okay. I suspect everyone here can identify with this experience of being at your lowest. Either you or someone you love has probably hit a rock bottom of sorrow or grief or shame at some point. Sometimes it's because we've misused our freedoms like this young man. Other times it's simply because of the things that have unfolded in our lives as we have faced loss or tragedy or hardship or struggle. Whatever has brought us or our loved ones down to that point, it's important to remember that we are not alone. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, did you know that 17.3 million, or 6.7% of American adults, experience depression every year? And another 40.1 million, or 18.1% of American adults, experience some form of anxiety disorder each year. And these numbers don't even capture the prevalence of these difficulties among children and teens, and the rise of these things in the aftermath of COVID. And so it's so important to remember, just like this younger son does, the younger son does set a good example here, because he remembers that there is always help available if you only reach for it. So if you find yourself in a season of grief or despair or depression or lament today, know that the God who is love is with you. And love endures all things. Love is always working to bring about healing and wholeness and fruitful relationships. And the love between the father and the son, the younger son, endured despite the separation and the time apart and the hard times. And obviously, the love endured between the father and the older son, the one who dutifully stayed behind to use his time and his inheritance and his energy to care for his father's livelihood. But one wonders as the story draws to a close, does love endure between all three of them? Can the older brother come to forgive his younger brother's transgressions and begin to see him as worthy of love and a place back at home? Can the younger son accept that love, the love he has received again, now calls for some accountability to his father and his brother? Not because of shame or duty, but simply because that's what loving relationship requires. And can this father, who has demonstrated that he knows much about the divine nature of love, help both of his sons learn to embody more grace, more support, and more mutual growth with and for one another? In many ways, we're right back to where we started. It's messy. It's complicated. It's life. And divine love winds its way through all of it. If you are wondering if God's love can really hold it all together in your life and relationships, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, the struggles and the triumphs, know that the God of love is with you. God's love looks most like that big giant hug that the father offers to his younger son upon his return. It's an all-embracing love. And it's the only thing big enough to hold all that we experience. And to believe that and to trust that is so fundamentally important. To live inside of and through such divine love can and will begin to make a difference in your life. It will shape your thinking and your feeling and your praying and your knowing and your doing. And it may take time, even a lifetime or more, but God's love always triumphs in the end. Just ask this father and his two sons.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in our hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card that are in the pew racks in front of you and place those in the offering boxes that are at the doors to the sanctuary on your way out this morning. This morning, our prayers are with Mary Sanford Hay and her family, who are mourning the death of her grandmother, Mary Josephine Jo Sanford, who passed away on February 7th. Services were held on February 11th in Clarksville, Tennessee. We also remember Karen Hicks Lawrence and her family, who are mourning the death of her mother, Carolyn Sharp Hicks, who passed away on February the 14th in Huntsville, Alabama. A private graveside service is being held on March 6th, with a larger celebration of life to be held later. And finally, we pray for Terry and Nancy Clements and their family, who are mourning the death of Terry's father, Joseph William Bill Clements, who passed away on February the 14th. Services were held Saturday, February 19th at First United Methodist Church of Gainesville, Georgia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that no matter where we go, no matter what we do or don't do, no matter how far we feel from you, you are never far from us. Your love is unconditional, and it is so expansive that we cannot flee from your presence. Your arms are ever open to welcome us in, and we are grateful, O God. This morning we pray for those who feel like they are in a distant country. May your enduring grace guide them on their paths, that with each step they might grow closer to you. We pray too, O God, for those who feel left out, for those who feel envious of others, for those who have done all the right things and still have not received the credit they deserve. May your deep and abiding love heal their wounds, O God. And may the great abundance of your kingdom come on earth, even as it is in heaven. We pray for those who suffer, for those who are sick, those who are in pain, for those who are raw with grief. We pray for our neighbors who are hungry, for those who are in need of medical care, and for those who cannot find affordable housing. Wrap each of these in your loving arms, O God, that they might find comfort and strength, courage and healing in your embrace. And guide us as we work together to find ways to ease the suffering of others. May we be sources of healing and hope in our world. We pray for the places in our world where peace is threatened this day, where violence and injustice are an ever-present threat. Guide the leaders of all nations to seek peace and prosperity for all people, that all might have what they need to live in health and safety. And finally, O God, we pray for ourselves, and we pray for our church. You have drawn us together in this community of faith to be an expression of your all-embracing and unconditional love in our world. Help us to bear with one another in love, that we might faithfully serve you and our neighbors in all that we say and do. All of our prayers, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options that are listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those here in person, we are there, as I mentioned earlier, there are offering boxes at the doors to the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to our God who loves us unconditionally.
O love, that will not let me go. Wasn't that a beautiful anthem? Really, truly beautiful. We may have run over a little bit today, I suspect, and yet I hope that you experience God's love today and that you take God's love with you from this place to share it with all whom you meet and to trust that God holds you in God's all-embracing love. Go in peace.